Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Don't you guys do a turn the page segment
Wednesday. On Wednesday?
It's time to turn the page.
Turn the page Wednesday.
I don't know when I turn the page.
What we feel like is a great opportunity to turn the page.
We just haven't been able to turn the page.
That's what you have to do. You got to turn the page.
I think now we all can move on.
Looking ahead to this week's opponent.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Because we need to know when to turn the page.
There I go.
Interesting how big of a rush you are to turn the page on this game when you fought us tooth and nail. And
well,
you got to turn it.
That was a bye week. I was just excited about the Commanders business. That's all.
Well, it ended up being a good game.
Yeah, it did end up being a good game.
With a bad result. But now we are walking into, Matt Spiegel, a game that I don't think it's hyperbole to say is critical to the rest of the Bears season.
A massively important NFC tilt against a team that finds itself in a similar kind of spot in the conference, trying to figure out if they're for real or not. The Cardinals, look, overall, the offense is 12th in yards per game. They're 8th in rushing, 20th in passing, and right about there in points. Defensively, they're 25th in yards per game. They're 24th in passing yards per game, 25th in rushing, right about there in points as well. But they're a team that's coming together or not. They're trying to figure themselves out. Offensively, they were awful against Detroit, awful against Green Bay, not even great in the win against the Niners, but crazy good in a 41-point performance against the Rams and really good this past Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. A ton of magical Kyler Murray plays this past Sunday. We know he can be a wizard with his feet and then the arm. He was, what, 26 of 36, 307 yards and two touchdowns. On the season,
he's having a year, y'all.
He really is, and it's weird. He's got great numbers when under pressure. And he's got kind of mediocre or middling numbers when not under pressure. When he's under pressure, he is avoiding the rush and getting the ball out or making things happen and putting up incredible numbers as a passer and as a runner. And you worry about him as a runner because we just saw the Bears had given up 78 yards rushing to quarterbacks on the year. Then Jaden Daniels had 52. Here comes Kyler Murray.
Yeah, you look at the numbers that he's put up, 344 yards rushing so far this year, but his season numbers are wild in the best possible way. He's completed 67% of his passes. He's thrown for 1,600 yards, 11 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. Now, because he scrambles, he does put himself sometimes in situations where he can knock himself, like similar to what Caleb did, knocking the Bears out of field goal range. Kyler can do that. He also has the ability to make everyone look stupid.
Yes, he does. And this offensive line has been, you know, ragtag. 8 different starters, 10 different players have taken snaps on the O-line, but they've now gone 3 straight games without giving up a sack. That's the first time since 1975. Jim Hart was the quarterback for this franchise when the last time that happened.
Kyler Murray has 3 ratings above 100, including 1 rating in week 2 against the Rams that was perfect.
Yeah, he was remarkable in that game. So he's shown a lot during the course of the year. James Conner is a solid multi-purpose every down back.
Just a good player with a great story.
7th in rushing in the league. He leads all running backs in yards per catch, Jonathan Gannon, the coach, said he flat out carried them and the Chargers went on a Monday night a couple years ago. How about this? James Conner, he's in his fourth year in Arizona already. After four in Pittsburgh, he's already up to 10th in franchise history, just past David Johnson in rushing yards for Arizona.
That's pretty cool.
Number one on that list, Otis Anderson, number one all-time in rushing yards for the Cardinals. This past week was a Marvin Harrison Jr. breakout game. Six catches on seven targets for 111 yards. Several huge acrobatic catches late, including this incredible touchdown.
Murray to throw. Kyler Murray lets it rip. End zone, Harrison! What a catch! Man, oh man!
Another huge third down conversion. By the way, hello, Jason Benetti.
That play-by-play guy sounds really good.
He had a huge third down conversion that was originally ruled incomplete, but then overturned upon review. Just incredible catch.
I wonder what he's doing these days.
Benetti?
Yeah.
I know.
He's doing Robbie Triano's games.
Oh.
But they have a thing now. I saw this from Ben Solak over to ESPN. Marvin Harrison Jr. ran 40% of his routes from the slot this past Sunday, targeted on a crossing route for the first time since week three. So they've got Marvin now in the middle of the field and running crossers. So
are you saying that this would be a great week for Kyler Gordon to be available?
It really, really would. It really deeply would. Otherwise, Josh Blackwell might end up on Marvin Harrison a lot, and that could be a little scary.
Kyler's out there fighting crime. Don't worry about it. He's out there fighting crime, spinning webs. And the rest of the NFL, by the way, Robbie, your Lions are just co-opting the Spider-Man thing.
Are they spinning webs?
Who do they have as their
David
Spider-Man?
David Montgomery and who else? They came in with like the two different Spider-Man masks
on Sunday. Is it Jameson Williams?
Well, no, that was a gun.
I wish Kyler would stop Jameson Williams. I wish Kyler would come to Detroit and just web
The Lions are like co-opting Kyler's thing. Like everyone wants to be Spider-Man now.
By the way, it was crazy that they caught Jameson Williams with a gun under his seat while he was gambling on an app and taking performance-enhancing drugs.
That's not accurate, but all three of those things has happened to Jameson Williams.
Okay,
but that's not turning the page.
Excuse me, once we get
to the north.
That was taking pot shots at a better team in the division.
They're a lot better.
On this defensive line for the Cardinals, they lost two old friend defensive linemen to injuries for the year. Justin Jones on injured reserve and Bilal Nichols. Bilal, you there, man?
He's been around for a while.
He's not there. Both out for the year. They lost a pass rusher to an ACL injury last week, but they did just activate Darius Robinson, the rookie, who's going to make his season debut in all likelihood on Sunday. This past Sunday, Lawrence, they only had five active defensive linemen. Only five. They played with what
hard
they call...
Hard to tap out.
Oh, unless you're Anthony Richardson. They played with a light box all day. And if you've ever played with a light box, you know that can be very sketchy.
Yeah, I've been there, dude.
Yeah, they have a very young secondary.
Some players in that secondary.
They do,
though.
But Sean Murphy Bunting is the vet of corner. He's been hurt. Buda Baker is the dude.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's the leader back there, made huge plays against Miami, including a forced fumble. Here's the big picture. According to the Football Power Index over at ESPN, the Bears have played the league's easiest schedule so far. They play the league's toughest schedule from here on out. The Cardinals have played the league's toughest schedule so far. They play the second easiest schedule from here on out. So two teams meeting in the middle right now, which some people think are headed in opposite directions. This is a big one.
It is. It's a huge game, and you're going on the road, and that place is weird, and you also have to deal with something that doesn't seem like a big deal, but is a big deal. The time change.
Is it 2 hours?
It'll be 1 hour.
Just 1 hour.
Because Arizona doesn't change time.
Oh, that's right. They never change time.
No, they don't. But
so why is 1 hour a big deal?
Because your body will think it'll be two. You've been getting prepared for two.
Who's right, Arizona or the rest of the country when it comes to time?
I think Arizona's right. I think
Arizona's
it's like
right.
the only thing that they're right about.
If this is something easy. It's all got to do with the Mayans, and we don't care
it's
about
not
them.
The Mayans?
I thought it was the Toltecs. The Toltecs, no? The Mayans?
I thought it was farmers. I thought that's what we were doing. Thank you, Ray. It's co-signing that.
It's the Mayans.
I'm
just glad. Don't climb on our temples. Okay, whatever, dude. Don't put them there. They're very climbable.
I think that's why Ray turned around. He's like, why are you making fun of my people?
That's a really good point. Yeah, I do want to climb those.
I think that this is something, though, I think they have right. And when you're there, you're like, you know what? This makes all the sense in the world.
Well, you'll be there. You can tell us how it feels to have your body go back 2 hours, but your clock only go back one.
Yeah, it's going to be strange. And then for me, I mean, I'm going through it. Because then what happens? Then I jump to Vegas to meet you guys.
Yeah.
And then it's going to go back two.
Man, I don't.
Or three.
I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for you.
You shouldn't.
I really don't.
Because we are going to be.
It sounds good.
We are going to be in the cabana at Circa.
Damn right.
And it's going to be awesome.
And Thursday night, we get in at like 10:20. The Circa limo is going to pick us up. They're going to have a bottle of Jack in there for us. And then we'll meet you at Legacy Club on the rooftop at 11:15.
11:15 at Legacy Club.
Which will be like 1:15 our time, but we'll be there.
Probably find me at the craps table at the D.
Okay. All right.
Because I will already have been there for 3 or 4 hours.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Well, you can walk over and meet us.
I'm taking, like, my favorite flight in America. The Vegas to Phoenix, Phoenix to Vegas flight.
The 45-minute flight.
That goes right over the Grand Canyon. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty awesome. You're like, oh, look at that. It's the Grand Canyon. Oh, I'm on the ground. Let's go play craps.
Don't even have time for the free beverage?
No.
They don't bother.
They try. The people in Southwest, they definitely hustle. And they're like, we're going to give people these drinks. Yeah. But you got to shotgun that.
They're just throwing peanuts at you from the front.
Well, I don't think they do that. I don't think you can do that anymore.
Oh, yeah, not peanuts.
Has anyone been on a Southwest flight with peanuts? I don't think they can even do it.
I mean,
they
2024, people are so soft, they can't handle peanuts anymore. So you can't get them on any flight.
Except the Mayans.
For Ranji's flights, where they don't serve penis on the flights.
Well,
and Cracker Jack.
It depends on how many people you can fit into the lavatory.
Those are Matt Nagy's flights. He prefers penis and Cracker Jack on his flights.
Are you guys Mile High Club or no?
On a PJ, yeah. No. I'm saying that on a PJ, I would be open to it. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought that was experiential. I thought we were getting a story time.
I want to join on like a Frontier or a Spirit flight.
Like you barely have a ticket.
Like grimy. Put me on the wing. Let me join the Mile High Club on the wing, brother.
Shane doesn't even have like a bag. He just bought the ticket.
He's out there on the wing. Talk about a nightmare at 20,000 feet. Looking out the window and seeing Shane out there.
What the bleep? This will be Shane and I's second time going to Vegas together.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it is.
Do you remember who fought when we went?
Yeah, it was Canelo and Chavez Jr.
That's
it was
right.
Number two or number three.
And
Canelo beat the crap out of him.
That's right. It was Canelo.
It was the first ever fight at T-Mobile that we saw.
Mm. It was pretty great.
Yeah, it was really good.
Well, as always, that's the kind of stuff we get to during Turn the Page on Wednesday at 3 o'clock.
I thought we were supposed to have fun on this show.
I'm good with fun. I'm all right with fun.
We have a little Mile High Club. Well, you know what's not fun?
What's that?
The standings in the NFC North.
Oh, it's grim. It's grim. Look at me. Let's go back to the PJ. Mile High Club.
Let's talk about the NFC North and try to catch people up on what's happening inside of the NFC North. And it stinks for the Bears because you really needed a win last week to keep pace with what was happening in the NFC North because of what we thought would happen with the opponents that were played last week. And this week is not really that different when you start to look around the league on games that are going to be played. Mm-hmm. But let's just talk about it here. And let's talk about these three teams that the Bears are fighting against.
Because there's a big game for two of them clashing this weekend.
That's right. The Lions and the Packers are going to play. The 6-1 Lions, who might be the best team in the NFL. Sorry, Kansas City. Sorry, Baltimore. I don't know if any other team in the NFL is more well-rounded than the Detroit Lions. You talk about three-phase football, Matt Spiegel.
Yeah, if Hutchinson were healthy, there's no question.
Three-phase football, they're also getting points from special teams. They're also getting points from special plays. They don't care. Ben Johnson will open up a can of whoop ass on you, and his trick plays work.
Laporta in motion. Toss play. Montgomery wants to throw to the end zone. There's the touchdown for Sam Laporta.
Yeah, and he pulled that out at the right time. The play, I mean. Not back to the Mile High Club conversation.
Or the Lightbox.
Or, yeah, all of those things. I think there's a donut place called Lightbox not far from Circa. Yes. Oh, wait, it's Pink Box. It doesn't matter. Either way.
It means the same thing.
Either way. But notice how they call their trick plays when, you know.
They had a lead?
They have a significant lead in a game.
They do one every week.
Yeah.
But it's almost always while they're already leading because they're really good.
Can I just tell you that I absolutely love that what they do with their trick plays is they don't feel like they're saving them. They don't exhaust them. I feel like Ben Johnson is like, I'll just draw up another one if we use all the ones that we were planning to use this week. And this time it was David Montgomery. So they're the Lions. They're sitting there at 6-1, feeling great. Looking good, except for the fact that one of their best players was arrested. And this is not been a good run for old J-Mo.
No, J-Mo, Jameson Williams, it came out yesterday. Two cops really wanted to arrest him. Another cop who got there later and had a Detroit Lions logo as his wallpaper on his phone. Made a whole bunch of phone calls trying to not get Jameson Williams arrested, and he emerged victorious, as did Jameson Williams. But right now, there's an investigation of the cop, and Dan Campbell, while talking about his suspended player, who's already suspended, had to answer why they support him in this kerfuffle about him having a pistol without the pistol license to go along with it.
So, catch everyone up. What are the three things that Jameson Williams has gotten in trouble for since he's been in the NFL?
Gambling. Inappropriately.
Six-gamer for that one?
Six-gamer last year for that. Was it last year?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Robbie. Robbie catalogs. Yeah, all this stuff. So there's that. Then there's performance-enhancing drugs. And now while on suspension for performance-enhancing drugs, we get word of this arrest that eventually goes away. And him saying, come on, man, you don't recognize me? I'm Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams is the most American person in the country right now. Him guns, drugs, yeah. Gambling.
It's true.
He really is. Hey, if he needs any you know, erection pills, tell him to listen to my spots as well. Can't say that? Thought I could.
We don't know. People on Twitch enjoyed it, though. And that's all that counts. Shout out to the mob. So the other team that they're playing in that game is the 6-2 Green Bay Packers. You know, the team that my partner says the Bears are going to sweep in the two games that they play with them starting in 3 weeks.
Not feeling great about that prediction.
You shouldn't have in the moment. But that's all right. Here's the thing.
It's a little drunk in the moment.
You know how you were talking about, man, that Jordan Love, man, he will give the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
You, sir, have been correct about that. He continues to give the ball away, and now he's hurt. He's got a groin injury. But wouldn't you know it, that Matt LaFleur has figured out a way to not only, he has made Malik Willis real rich. Malik Willis is going to get some money because of what
he is. Somebody's going to let him be a starter for
them? I don't think they're going to let him be a starter, but I think that he's going to be living in the $10 million backup range.
He's going to join Chase Daniel on being an MVP at the bank.
He might be an MVP. Let's get him ready. Let's see. He's on Hall of Fame watch for Hall of Famer at the bank, okay?
That's fair.
He's on watch. Like, he's not a finalist like our guy Olin Krutz is to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's on watch. He's on that first list.
That first long list.
That list of like 100.
Yeah.
Malik Willis is on that list because for some reason, Matt LaFleur has unlocked him.
Willis under center. And he takes the handoff, bootlegs to his right, stops, looks, throws left, got Reed, wide open, down the sideline, 30, 25, 20, banged out of bounds, near the 15-yard line by Darnell Savage. Wow.
Yeah, that's an incredible throw.
He's been really good, and it hasn't just been one throw here. It's been him being able to fit or them working a system around him that has led to him having success, and I'm really happy for Malik Willis. I'm sad for the Bears because even if you get him, because Jordan Love isn't quite right, depending on what happens over the next couple of weeks, you might still be in a game that you're in trouble in, even though you'd be, you know, kind of hoping that you're going up against a backup. It's sad. It's scary.
Can I tell you, I don't like that Detroit and Green Bay is a 325 game to go along with the Bears and Arizona at a 305
game.
Yeah,
but there's no other choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, because they got moved into that fancy slot, or maybe they were already there in the fancy slot.
They're already there because they're out west. That home game almost always is a 305.
But Detroit at Green Bay being the marquee late game is what just happens to hurt you. I'd rather that was flexed. But we do get the Vikings on Sunday night flexed against the Indianapolis Colts.
The Vikings are coming off a mini bye. They had that incredible game against the Rams last Thursday where there should have been a face mask call that would have stopped a safety and would have allowed for the Vikings to perhaps tie the game up with a touchdown and a two-point conversion. I think Sam Darnold is actually getting better. I know that they've lost the last two games, and it's easy to be like, well, there it is. He's the weak link. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I still think that he's the weak link on that team, but I think that he's getting better. So, and I think that's scary.
As you look at the NFC North, you've got the Bears, obviously, dead last at 4-3. Vikings at 5-2. Packers 6-2. Lions 6-1. All three of those teams active this weekend.
Yep.
I have questions about your Hall of Fame at the bank. I want to flesh that out at some point along the way.
Yeah.
Want you to tell me who else is on that first list.
Robert Horry help us out with that? You got John Konkak on that list?
Yes.
But see, here's the thing about being a Hall of Famer at the bank, Speaks. It's not about how much money you made.
It's about how hard you work.
You damn right.
That makes
it's
sense.
About how much money you made by not working.
Can I offer you Jacoby Brissett? He's played a lot, actually.
He works very hard.
$58 million career earnings for
That's
Jacoby Brissett.
That's more money than I thought he had made.
Uh-huh.
He might get some consideration.
How about Jameis Winston, who's still hanging around? You want to take a stab at the career earnings for Jameis Winston?
Jameis Winston's probably made $70 million.
$76 million for Jameis Winston.
And it's all going to end up with him being a pastor at a church. I'm telling you.
Hope they do crab leg lunches.
He's gonna have a super church trust in the next decade. Jameis Winston will have a super church somewhere in the South.
Charles Davis is going to join us on this show. Very excited to talk to Charles. He's doing the Cardinals and the Bears.
I love Charles Davis. He also, by the way, I don't know if you know this, he's connected with our guy Wani.
Oh, doing stuff at Fox?
Yeah, they've done all sorts of things together. In fact, Wani has sometimes gone from an interview with Charles to an interview with me on television and called me Charles because he just talked with Charles Davis. So we will talk with Charles Davis. He is very good at his job. He is going to break down. You talk about turning the page and getting us ready for the Arizona Cardinals. He's going to help us along those lines and tell us why we are seeing the best of Kyler Murray. And we are seeing Marvin Harrison flourish the way that he has. And we'll get his thoughts on what's going on with your Chicago Bears, too.
By the way, later on in the show, Mark Grody has exclusive sound from Jalen Johnson and Kevin Byard from today in the locker room. No other television or radio station will have what we have at 5 o'clock with Grody. So tell a friend.
But next up, Charles Davis breaks down this game in the Bears locker room next on The Score. Here I go.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on the Score.
If that's not a promo, I don't know what is.
I'm going on a little bit of an adventure that is going to lead to me being at the game this weekend.
I know, I love that. Well, you are half Chicago and half Arizonan, or you're what?
I'm probably 80% Chicago and 20%. Yeah. I'm about 15% Arizona and 5% Montreal. That's probably the mix now.
So 80, 15, and 5 right now.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good to know. But I want to hear about that adventure, and we'll have time to discuss and dissect. But we get a chance to talk football with one of our favorites right now.
Charles Davis is just amazing. Like, his resume speaks for itself. We love talking football with him here at The Score. We love the fact that he also has a relationship with our guy, Dave Wannstedt. And he joins us now on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Hey, CD, how are you, man? Did we lose Charles?
We'll get him back. If we lost him, we will get him back.
It happens sometimes.
Sure.
The internet and stuff.
Man, played at Tennessee, played for the Cowboys, has been around for a long, long time as an excellent football media member and person, doing a lot of great color commentary for NFL games and for college games alike.
Now we have Charles Davis. Hey, CD.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We are doing excellent. Really well, man. Thank you so much for joining us. It's always appreciated when you give us a little bit of your time and talk to Chicago. Before we talk about the breakdown of this game, what have you been hearing and thinking about what's happened with the Bears over the last 72 hours?
Just glad I don't have to deal with it myself. You know, this is one of those things that we all saw it happen. We all saw it unfold. We saw a situation. I was talking with someone who's been around the game for a long time, and you know, he goes, every time we say we've seen it all, we haven't, because there's always something that's going to happen. Tyreek Stevenson and the fans, that's going to go down. You know, let's face it, that doesn't go away in a week. It's going to be part of him for a long time. And it obscures the fact that in most cases, he does a nice job playing. What it also dredged up was other things that day, the 61-yarder given up, the penalty he got. You know, so you can take that turn and go all the way down that path. But I think this Bears team, a lot of good veterans on the team, guys who have been around. I feel like they'll handle their business internally. I like the way he confronted it once he had a little bit of time to reflect. You know, I know a lot of people want him to do it right there in the locker room and go in front of the podium and all the other. I get it, but he's not a quarterback. Quarterbacks do that. Everyone else might not have to or have the feel for it. He came out the next day. I know the social media way is the way we do it nowadays. I'm old. I don't even do social media. I got off of it. So I know that's the accepted way. But he also, I think, stood up in front of the team and did what he had to do. And now he gets a chance to play. And I think that's a big deal. And I know that in the old days, guys, people would talk about cut him and bench him and do all these things. I don't see that happening. I think they'll handle it internally, and he will play on Sunday because he's part of that team and they need him. And he now has to prove to everyone he won't have a lapse like that again. But he also gave cover to, we're going to hand the ball to an offensive lineman on short yardage goal line. You know, he gave cover to that. It's out there, but there was cover because this became bigger. You know, should you have pressed people on the corner and not given up 13 yards to set up the Hail Mary? That wasn't as big now. His actually over obscured a lot of things. But I feel like this Bears organization, can weather this. I don't feel like this is going to cripple them, make them collapse, derail their season. I'm not going to go so far as to say it'll galvanize them and now they'll just play a house of fire. Now I'm doing a Disney movie. But I also don't think that this team is going to come out on Sunday and have the weight of that keep them from playing really well against Arizona.
Charles Davis is well informed on everything that has gone on. You touched on a lot of things right there, Charles, and we are knee deep in it in this town. Players have commented on all the things you mentioned. Like DJ Moore questioned the call on the goal line, giving the ball to the backup offensive lineman. Kevin Byard questioned the corners not playing up. Jalen Johnson said, why didn't we call a timeout before the Hail Mary? It's been kind of an amazing week where five or even six players have openly tried to talk about things and point a finger at themselves or teammates. And we haven't heard the coach do it publicly at all. The coach has not pointed a finger at himself really at all. And it's been jarring. We don't know if he's doing it privately. Does a coach need to do it publicly? We're dying for it. Fans are dying for it. Should we assume it's happening privately? It's a weird space for us to live in that way.
You're right about that, but I would assume it's being done privately. And here's why. Let's go back to earlier this year when there were a lot of questions about offensive play calling and what was happening on offense. You guys know it way better than I do, right? Mm-hmm. You remember that time? And was there not let's get together and talk about this, initiated in a large part by the head coach to pull Shane Waldron, offensive coordinator, together with key players from the team, you know, your leadership council, your captains, whatever it is, and discuss things. And boy, they came out of that and things really got better. They played better. People felt good about the meeting. It wasn't just lip service. Things went. So I think given that track record, just that short little track record for this year, I'm going to go on the assumption that Matt Eberflus has met with the team, has taken responsibility that he sees that he needs to take as a head coach. Look, we're all into self-flagellation, aren't we? We're all into, we want that person to go up front and take full responsibility, take the hit, because we always talk about that in leadership, whether it's a head coach, a quarterback, right? We always praise those quarterbacks when receivers drop eight passes. Well, I should have thrown the ball better. You know, I should have given them a better chance. And we all know that that's garbage. But guess what? He stood up and took accountability for it. We all like the coach that goes up and goes, you know, instead of saying guys weren't ready to play today or whatever, hey, that's my responsibility. I didn't have them ready to play. But I don't know that that means that it's not happening behind closed doors with Eberflus and this crew. This team is comfortable enough to say the things that they said this week, but it wasn't said in such a harsh tone, like this is the worst thing I've ever seen. And this darn coach, I thought we could do it this way. I thought we could do it that way. And I'm pretty sure that's what they've been hashing out since. And by now they've had these meetings and my guess is they've made the agreement. Okay. We got to move forward now. We've done it. We've talked it through. Let's go on. You know, everyone turns the page, whether symbolic or whether it's an actual phrase. Okay, turning the page. Let's move forward. And I really think this Bears team, again, will not be weighed down come Sunday. I have a feeling that they're going to play pretty well.
I just would like to acknowledge before I ask my next question of Charles Davis that he is rocking the coolest synergenic thing on a CBS broadcast, which will be the Bears Cardinals game. He is rocking the Dutton Ranch Yellowstone cap while he's talking to us. For those of you on Twitch, you can actually see that he is rocking it. So you talk about getting some synergy together. Mm-hmm. That is what you get with a professional like CD. Hey, all right.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Don't make me go get Rip.
No, right. We don't make you go get Beth.
Don't make me go get Rip. I mean, from the time I started watching that show, which was the first episode, I was intrigued because of Costner and, you know, what was set up. And they grabbed me early. And obviously, I have not let go. Now, I will say they've lost some momentum knowing that Costner's really not in the wrap-up episodes. But I'm going to have to ride it out to the end and find out and just to see how it all wraps up, shapes up, what have you. But that's been my show for a long time. And I just, you know, I just absolutely love it. And I did watch his new movie, the Horizon movie.
Mm.
Remember, he said it was supposed to be a four-parter. He's not getting a four-parter. I'm as big a Costner fan as there is. If he were sitting here now, I would pay him the ultimate respect and homage. I actually got to sit with him once on a show, and I know I was in absolute awe. I'm sitting with Kevin Costner. This is the coolest thing. No.
Yeah, he's not getting all four.
Understood.
I actually watched it twice to make sure I wasn't doing it. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I know. I could hear it. It's like, well, you did what? No, I actually watched it twice on different occasions, not back to back, to make sure that I was getting it. And truthfully, I didn't. There's a lot that I didn't get there. Yeah, it was the Old West, and we got all of that, but did it knit together, hold together for me? Are there characters that I grasped onto? Not really. Let me tell you something. Yellowstone is cracking up watching that. Like, yeah, okay, no worries here, right? We're good. I hate that. I mean, I'd rather watch Jimmy at the triple sixes. Okay, you know?
Okay.
That'll turn into something. We'll see.
Hey, Charles, are we in for a real explosive version of the Kyler Murray Cardinals offense? Because it's been up and down at different times this year, but are they rolling right now?
They played better against Miami, but you have to remember this is a team that had to come from, you know, double digits down again to get it done, and they did. And I was on the road against a Miami team that had to have it, brought Tua back, right? And he didn't play poorly by any stretch of the imagination against the number one pass defense in the NFL going into the ball game, and they found a way to get it done. When we say explosive, the plays will still be made by Murray, but it's not as much of their base offense as it was when Cliff Kingsbury was the head coach. Know what I'm talking about? The zone read, the quarterback runs, and they're still in there. But when I watch them on tape, it's not nearly the number of designed quarterback runs and all of those things. But when he decides to go, that's not a good thing for people, okay? When he decides to take off and skitter out of there, oh boy, that's usually a problem. Plus, if you check his numbers on the move, throwing the ball, they're off the charts good. His quarterback rating, his percentages downfield, his numbers, and this guy's red zone. I think he's 8 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions, and they are 11 for 11 on go for it plays, go for it for touchdowns. So they can cash it in. Not quite the same offensive line as they had last year when I think they're number 4 in the league running the ball, but they're still committed to run. They're still top 10 running it, and he's still going to get a full dose of James Conner in his pads. So we'll see how explosive they can be. Now, when they put it together with McBride over 100 and Marvin Harrison over 100, yeah, things can get that way. But this is a Bears defense. Hadn't given up 21 in a game all year. So I have a feeling that they're like, yeah, bring it on. Let's do this thing, because they should be a confident bunch because they've proven it.
Charles, you're the best, man. Thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate your time. I'm going to see if I can make it over to the broadcast booth when I'm out there in AZ to say hello.
Oh, please, please, please come by and say hi. I don't have nearly the same number of commitments for a late afternoon game as I do for early game. So come by and say hi, and we'll hug it out, and we'll try and figure out exactly how many more people Rip is going to kill before this gets over.
No,
his Rip's body count is really, really high.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You are 100% right about that. Charles
Davis.
There's
got to be a few more people to go to the train station, guys. Got to be a few more.
That's Charles Davis. Watch him on the coverage of Bears Cardinals on CBS. The guy is an absolute delight. Let's talk baseball. Game 4. This man is going to break down what happened and get us ready for Game 5 next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, Ben.
Afternoons on The Score.
As Hudson deals, swung on and hit in the air to left field and deep. That ball is high. That is far. That is gone. It's a grand slam. Anthony Volpe put a charge in one. A grand slam to left field, and the Yankees now take a 5-2 lead.
Anthony Volpe is your hero. It's a kid who's born in Manhattan, raised in New Jersey, huge Yankee fan. That picture of him as an 8-year-old at the parade the last time the Yankees won the World Series has been bouncing around. And there last night, he had quite the narrative arc. It's Spiegel and Holmes, and we'll talk to Pat Manley in 10 minutes.
You could say that he has like a New York state of mind?
I think he does. I think he does indeed.
I see you, Robbie.
As a matter of fact.
I bet he had more than just a bottle of red and a bottle of white.
Yeah, well, you know, Billy Joel would also approve.
That wasn't the version that Robbie and I were commiserating over.
I know, but I felt the Billy reference, so we can all hang out.
Jay-Z?
Nas.
I love music.
That's what he came back with.
He likes music songs. We all do. But Volpe screws up last night.
Yeah, he does.
Volpe screws up last night, breaks back towards second on a near home run by Austin Wells, doesn't score, ends up scoring anyway that inning, but he was a base running error and screw up. But then he hits that grand slam, and the place is going crazy. But then in the ninth inning, the Yankees crowd, as they're piling on and Volpe's out there playing shortstop and they're about ready to finish this one, they're chanting his name. The Yankees fans are chanting, Volpe, Volpe. And he said that was the number one moment of his young sports
life. How can it not be?
It's crazy.
Like, think about it. When Derrick Rose from Chicago.
Yeah.
When our guy Tim Sinclair from Chicago. And there's a roar. It'll happen in January. Was it January 4th? Like, that means, like, when you've been a fan of the team, think about the five Bears. Think of what it means to those guys to put their uniform on. They watch guys in those uniforms to a large extent. Those guys grew up wanting to be Alex Brown and Olin Krutz and Lance Briggs, and now you're them.
You're them. And, I mean, Volpe grew up wanting to be Derek Jeter, and now he plays shortstop.
For the Yankees.
And hits grand slams in the World Series. And so, look, that was a nice moment. I hate the freaking Yankees, but I'm rooting for this one to go seven and get decided in, like, the 12th or 14th inning of Game 7, just so I can get as much baseball as possible. We'll talk about the ugly, ugly other stuff later on, but one other storyline just to hit from last night I found myself thinking about. Brent Honeywell was a former big-time prospect in baseball who kind of flamed out a few different places and didn't ever reach his potential. Through a weird set of circumstances, ends up on the Dodgers and finds his way as a member of that bullpen. And he's an odd dude. He throws a screwball. He's got a perm mullet hybrid that his aunt gave him on a road trip, and the team loves it and makes him pose for pictures without his hat on because they love his perm mullet. Anyway, nice story. Gets to stay alive, gets to make a World Series. He's the one out there in the ninth inning just being forced to freaking wear it on national TV in the ninth inning of a World Series game. Just stay out there and give up four runs, or is it five runs, as Dave Roberts punted on the bullpen for the rest of the game.
This from John Ewing of BetMGM.
Okay.
Had you bet Freddie Freeman to homer in each game and rolled the winnings over, you would have $300,000.
Wow.
Right now.
Just if you bet him to homer in game one and just kept rolling.
Game one, the odds were +600. Game two, +625. Game three, +725.
Wow.
Game four, +625.
That's crazy.
That's rich.
He's now the first guy ever to homer in the first four games of a World Series.
You ready to go for five? Good. Maybe not against this matchup, but
against
who knows?
Garrett Cole,
he did it before.
Maybe he did in game one.
We'll see.
Why not?
All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, Patrick Manley is going to help us figure out what the Bears need to do if they want to beat Arizona, and we'll get his thoughts about what's been going on up there, too. Don't go anywhere. That's next on The Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.